Our readings for tonight come from the book of Psalms. If you have a pew Bible, the psalm we're looking at first is Psalm 42, and that is on page 567. If you would like a Bible, I can see the stewards are running around ready to give you a Bible, if you would like one. Page 567, Psalm 42, straight into Psalm 43. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my God, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. But by the day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much, Jean, for reading those two psalms to us. This is the third in our series on the Psalms, and the series is entitled Praying the Psalms, or Prayers from the Psalms. And I think that it's a tremendous collection of poems and thoughts which we can use under many circumstances. There's some dreadful things going on in the world at the moment, aren't there? Whether it's Iraq or Syria, Gaza or West Africa, or nearer home, the revelations about what has been happening in Rotherham and perhaps in other places too. Throughout the world, it seems, there is turmoil, pain and suffering on a huge scale, wherever you turn. And we spectate, blessed with an instant intimate access to the horror stories that make up the lives of millions of people throughout the world. What is happening in the world is enough to make us despair. And I don't know about you, but sometimes, as I was when we were praying a few moments ago, I think, well, I'm doing this, and I believe and totally convinced that it makes a difference. But my goodness, that's hard sometimes, isn't it? To believe that there is a way out of some of these situations. What is happening in the world is enough to make us all despair. But for some people, individually, personally, it's worse. Not only are those things going on in the world, not only can they see those things happening every time they turn on a television screen, but there are things going on inside their own lives. Bereavements, serious illness, broken relationships, unemployment or the fear of losing a job, perhaps even long-term feelings of inadequacy or hurt that have lived with people throughout their lives. And they create depths and torments that we would rather not have to face. And these may be events in our own lives, or they may be events in other people's lives that we share with others. And as humans, we experience all those emotions. And they make us what we are. They make us human. We would not, we could not have it any other way. That is what being human is about. It's part of the human condition of many people to experience at times a state of mind that we'd rather not sometimes confess to. We'd rather often describe by euphemism. We feel a bit down in the dumps, or we're going through a rough patch, or everything's just a bit off at the moment. We don't call it what it is. And that's what I'm going to be talking about this evening. It's not an easy subject, and I would be doing it and us less of a service if I tried to lighten it at all, if I tried to laugh it up. It's not. Depression is the most common mental or disorder in Britain. Antidepressants are the most prescribed drugs of the developed world. Over 1 in 4 people will experience some form of mental health disorder in a year, and the majority of those will experience depression. And I think we all know someone who is presently or has at some time in the past experienced depression to some extent in their lives. For some, myself included, those bouts have thankfully been short-lived. For others, the shadow of the black dog has been altogether larger and longer lasting. It may indeed be a constant companion on their walk through life. Every now and then, the world reminds us of its existence, and this great unmentionable comes to the fore, as it has done recently with the tragic death by suicide of the actor and comedian Robin Williams. Psalms 42 and 43 together give us an insight into the depression suffered by their author. I hope tonight that these psalms and what I have to say about them prove helpful to any whom they touch personally. It's not an easy topic. It's not a fun topic. And I know I need help in saying this, and perhaps you need help in hearing it. So before I start, will you join me in asking God to help us? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, speak to us now as we seek your wisdom by looking at your word and we consider life's dark times. And for those people here who are experiencing them, Heavenly Father, I ask that you will touch them. And for those of us who are not, please make us sensitive and caring of those who are. Amen. So a little bit of background about the Psalms. They belong together. There's no real reason why they are separated into Psalm 42 and 43. And as I go through them, it might be helpful to actually have it open. It's page 567, just as Jean said. They form a single prayer written by the same author, probably a member of the Korahites, who were those responsible at their time for leading worship in the church or in their temple. And the psalm is described as a maskil, which is a word that can be taken, if you like, to offer some teaching. So what we have here is a man who is and in some office in his church or in his temple, and he's using his experiences to try and help others, but he's also going through his own torments. Probably because of his inability to worship. Literally, because of his absence from his temple. He's not where his temple is at the moment. And metaphorically, he's away from God. He can't seem to find God. He is, in all senses of the term, in a desert place, dry without water, and alternatively hot and bothered, and cold and desolate. In effect, we have a distressed man trying to find his way through his depression as he has a conversation in his mind. So what can we learn from it? Well, our society's taboos about mental illness intensify the sense of anxiety and isolation often felt by those suffering from depression. If we have flu or we break a leg, we usually can't hide it. We often think nothing of telling others of our afflictions. And indeed, we can be guilty of over-elaborating our woes, even glorifying our situation. But have you ever had man flu? It's my one joke. With depression, it's different. We hide it. We so often keep it under wraps, bottling it up, denying it, sometimes even to ourselves. How many times, if we're honest, have we said, "I'm all right," when actually inside we're crying? We know we do it. And indeed, within the Christian community, our faith can make this reluctance to express our feelings even harder, because we might have to admit to the additional difficulty of finding it hard to find God, the very God who we're reminded is there for us whatever, whenever. Our psalmist lets his feelings be known. Without escape or embarrassment, he bears his soul. And in three different ways, in the psalm, he expresses the pain, and he uses different images and different metaphors. First of all, he is dry. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God. My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" Now, it's interesting. If you Google, as I did in putting together this presentation, those words, as the deer pants water, the pictures you get are actually quite nice romanticized pictures of pretty little antelopes sipping away at mountain streams. I don't believe that's the picture of this psalm. I want you to picture, I think this is what it is, we have a picture here of a pursued animal. We have someone who is so desperate that he is using the metaphor of being chased and hunted to within an inch of death from thirst and exhaustion and sore feet and tripping over and all that sort of stuff. This isn't a pretty psalm. This isn't a nice picture. We have a pursued animal chased by hunters out to kill it. Hot, out of breath, tired of running, and desperate to stop and drink, but knows that if they take the risk of stopping and drinking, they might just be caught and might just be killed. So our psalmist, our depressed worship leader, is desperate. He is spiritually dry. Maybe he's been chased in life, hounded and demanded of. He's run out of evasion or creativity. He feels weak and struggling to go on. He desperately needs his soul quenched by spiritual water. He needs to escape. He needs sustenance and sleep. But he doesn't know where to go. Like his pursuers, he shares their confusion. Where is God? Metaphor number two, he is drowning. My soul is downcast within me. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. Why have you forgotten me? My bones suffer in mortal agony. Have you ever been in that situation where maybe you've been in the sea and a wave's caught you unexpectedly? And you believe that you've almost filled your entire body with water. Not true. But it feels like that as you try and wipe it away and you cough and splutter and that. Again, that's the image of this man, completely beaten up. He's far from home, literally and metaphorically, and he reminisces on his past as well as of the feelings of being immersed. And whilst in one sense he longs to be so again, in another he feels inundated and swept over by the floods that life is throwing at him. He's not enjoying a cooling dip in the water. He's feeling out of his depth and at risk of drowning. And like a stone at the bottom of a waterfall that is thrown around by the power of the water, so he is battered and bruised and smashed up by the pounding that he's experiencing. He physically hurts. And still that question. Where is God? And then thirdly, he's disheartened. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause. Rescue me. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? He's being chased through life. He's dying of thirst. He's overwhelmed and beaten up and desperate for help. Yet still, he has that feeling that God's there. You are my God and my stronghold. And that's the problem, isn't it? You trust in God, but where is God when you need him? Why have you rejected me? After the death of his wife as a result of illness, C.S. Lewis wrote in starkly honest book, A Grief Observed, this. Meanwhile, Where is God? Go to him when your need is desperate, when all other help is in vain, and what do you find? A door slammed in your face, a sound of double bolting on the inside, and after that, nothing. And Lewis is not alone. Many very faithful will testify to a feeling of abandonment at times of depression. Charles Spurgeon referred to the dungeons beneath the castle of despair in describing his depression. It's not a sign of weakness or lack of faith at such times to question where God is. On the contrary, the recognition of the need for God is evidence of faith in God. The example of the psalmist is to tell it as we feel it, to speak out and express our feelings. We might not want the world to know how we are, but someone whom we trust, they should allow us to talk. And God, tell God. God's big enough to take it. So our psalmist in three ways describes the feelings of depression and abandonment that he feels. He's dry, he is drowning, and he is disheartened. But he doesn't leave it at that. I wonder, do you ever have conversations inside your head? Occasions when one voice says one thing, and then another voice says something else. And then you have a little argument with the one that says the second thing, and back it comes again. And constantly round and round you go. Sometimes there's a bit of a war going on. On other occasions, more of a dialogue. That's what our psalmist is doing here. He's carrying on a conversation inside his head. After each of the three expressions of his depression that I've just referred to, back comes a refrain. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Some people would say that feelings of low self-worth and depression develop when people listen to themselves too much rather than talk to themselves enough. Particularly, this is true of the development of negative thoughts. Many people who have experienced some form of depression testify to the power of negative thoughts to distort reality to the extent that they're only capable of hearing the negative. The process of developing the ability to talk oneself through the dark passages of life is identified by many as good therapy. And it's modeled here by our psalmist. He does so in three different ways. Firstly, he looks in. He looks within himself and asks the question, why? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And he tries to find and understand his state of mind. While such a question might not be appropriate to ask someone else, perhaps it's something that we should sometimes ask ourselves. Question and challenge, why do we feel like we do? William Cowper was an 18th century poet and hymn writer who was a lifelong sufferer from depression. His biographer, John Piper, quotes him as saying, "We fortify ourselves against the dark hours of depression by cultivating a deep distrust of the certainties of despair." It is important to challenge the assumption that there is a reason why we are downcast. Anecdotally, in some of my work as chaplain at the grammar school and in working with students who have suffered there, one of the challenges that we sometimes have when we meet together is no negative conversations, is the opportunity to communicate and to try and keep the can'ts and the don'ts and the won'ts and the aren'ts out of the conversation, to try and talk positively. And I believe it's been my experience with those young people, but it has helped. It certainly has proved very challenging just to recognize how often the negatives come in. Secondly, as he addresses his state of mind, our psalmist also looks back at the past. He remembers how things have been. "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng." He reminds himself that his present state of mind hasn't been with him throughout his life. He has been joyous and thankful. He's not a person who cannot be those things. And looking back is part again of his therapy, his conversation to challenge the depth that he feels in at the present. And thirdly, he looks forward. "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." He is determined to continue to acknowledge and worship God, even though he might do so at times through gritted teeth. In the dark days, it's important to keep hoping, to keep on keeping on. It's like our psalmist is beginning the process of reasoning his way out of his depression. And indeed, there is some evidence of growing hope in the psalm. As we move towards the end of Psalm 43, it says, "Send forth your light and truth. Let them guide me. Then I will go to the altar of God, to my God, my joy and my delight. I will praise my God." And even though the depression is still there at the end, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" So he reasons is the answer. "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." There are no easy answers to the problems facing people who suffer from depression. These psalms offer a pathway that might help some people. Distilled to its most basic, the pathway is signposted by those 5 points. Recognize your feelings. Express them. Address them. Challenge them. And hope. Now, if there are people here this evening who have some experience of depression, indeed it may be with them at present, I simply offer that to you, with the prayer that you may find some comfort and some hope within this community. For those of us who are not experiencing that at present, we too need to be open-armed and willing to take people in love and support them through the common cold of the mind. And it's my prayer that we will be able to do that, where we will be a community that supports all, and everyone at all times will be able to be looked after here. Let us pray together as we finish. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that can help us. And we just ask this evening that you will be able to help people who are suffering from depression, and that we as your community of faith here may be your vehicles by which that might be achieved. Amen.